Okay. We're moving on to the second Tyrant Aris HaKadosh, Chochmas HaKadosh. In the future, we're going to be moving to different places in Aris HaKadosh, and you should always take a look to see. Moshe David sends out the picture. If you don't have it, then let me know, and I'll try to make some physical copy, or somebody else could do it for you, if you don't have the way to do that. But usually by Thursday or so, they should be out. There's something that's being sent. Das HaKadosh Mimkor HaChaim. Das HaKadosh Mimkor HaChaim. Even though, as we spoke about, by the Hagdama to Aris HaKadosh, the Seder here is not a Seder that was written by Rav Kook. The order was arranged by the Nazir. The Nazir himself was a very, very great person and tzaddik. The connection between this Torah and the one before is very, very clear. In the first Torah, Rav Kook spoke about the unique quality of Chochmas HaKadosh, of the Chochma of Torah, as Chochma that comes Mimkor Chaya Chaim. It's a Chochma that comes Mimkor Chaya Chaim, from the root, the source of the life of all life. And as a result of that, that it's not the product of a stagnant and stale and limited and constricted human mind. As a result of that, the Chochmas HaKadosh is a Chochma we learned, which is Po'elis. It's active. And it's Maf'elis. It transforms, it changes. It's Yetzeres, it's Mechadeshes, it creates. We spoke a lot about that over the past few weeks. In this Torah, Rav Kook is explaining how this understanding that Chochmas HaKadosh is different than its Mimkor Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu, this way of understanding Torah transforms our entire Mabat, our entire perspective, and how we look at Chachma Bechlal, how we see everything, we look at everything in the world, and how we look at the studies that are made of everything that exists. All scientists, all Chachamim are trying to understand this world, to understand the ocean, to understand the sun, the moon, the stars, to understand a molecule, a cell. All Chachma is man's effort to unravel the mystery of Metzius. To get an understanding, to try to reach what's behind all of this. Das HaKadosh Mimkor HaChaim, the second Torah in Aris HaKadosh, Rav Kook explains this is the great chiddush. This is the great chiddush of how Yiddishkeit, how Yahadis, how Torah understands reality. It's a completely different way of looking at reality. Those who are familiar with Chabad Chassidus know that very often the tzaddikim of Chabad come back to helping us to correct our way of looking at things, to make sure that we see things correctly. We always speak of creation as being Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin means that this is a world of Yesh, of physical reality that we can see, that we can touch, that we can smell and hear and so on. And this reality that we have is something that comes from Ayin. It's Yesh Me'ayin, from nothing. From the infinite, unknowable, Reisha D'Leisiyada, that unknowable reality of Elokus. So, from the very beginning of our lives, we were raised with that perspective of Yesh Me'ayin. And of course that's true. There was nothing. And now there's something. And you and I are all part of that something that was created from nothing. And that's our way of thinking of things. And to a large extent, the people of the world, non-Jews as well, people of faith, also see things in such a way with an important difference, which we're not going to go right now. We'll talk about it more as we go along. Even those of people of faith still don't see creation the same way that we do. Chlal. Even in that way of Yesh Me'ayin, it's not the same. But v'chol zayis, in general, this is something that comes from nothing. But the emes is in Panimi is that that's not really creation. Really creation is Ayin Me'yesh. This is what we're in is nothing. And this nothing that we're in comes from something. Now, it's not just a game with words. It sounds like it's a cute thing. Yesh me'ayin, ayin me'yesh. It's not. It's about everything that we're learning right now. To live with that perspective of this is ayin me'yesh, that this is ayin, that we take ourselves so seriously as being yesh, but the emes is that this is ayin. True yesh is true reality, is something that's beyond our understanding. This is ayin that we're in. Now, what does that mean? And how are we supposed to look at ourselves and the world? Okay, much of Chabad Chassidus is on this inyan. Not just Chabad, but especially Chabad. Rav Kook is, of course, coming from a very, very strong background in Chabad, and much of his Torah is rooted in the teachings of the Tzaddikim from Chabad. So what is Kodesh? This word in Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaKodesh, Eish Kodesh, what is Kodesh? So there's Kedusha, there's Kadosh, and there's Kodesh. The entire section is called Chochmas HaKodesh. Das HaKodesh Mimkor HaChaim. Now the Nozer writes in his Perush that we have, Baruch Hashem, just recently we have some of the Shiurim from the Nozer on Oros HaKodesh, on the beginnings of Oros HaKodesh. So far the two volumes. So the Nozer writes that the emes is that word Kodesh has no definition in secular philosophy or in secular Chachma. There's no definition for the word Kodesh. There's a famous German philosopher, German actually wasn't originally German, but there's a famous philosopher who wrote a book called Das Heilige, on which would be translated as Kedusha or HaKodesh. But the truth is that there is no translation of Kodesh, the Nazir writes. But here in this Torah and throughout Chochmas HaKodesh, Rav Kook is defining this unique perspective of Yiddishkeit that's called Kodesh. Well, my Kedusha, Kadosh, Kodesh. Hayediyim in ha'olam v'hametzius. Knowledge of the world, of reality, and all knowledge that we are able to extract from the world, all information, knowledge that we can extract from the world and from reality. Again, my translation is very poor, and the explanations are always just a hashara of maybe 40% possibility of what it is, and all of us try to figure out and to work it out together. It's very, very hard to understand. Especially these Torahs are very, very hard. Hayidiyim in ha'olam v'hametzius shebo mitzad achol. The understanding of the world, a way of understanding reality. What is the sun? What's the moon? What's a table? What's a chair? We spoke about this a little bit last week. That idea of the world, of reality, shebo mitzad achol, that comes from chol. In other words, secular, non-Torah way of understanding reality. That comes from Chol. Eina oila afilu lechelik echad mine revava berach emes. Doesn't approach even a chelik echad mine revava, a tiny fraction. Be'erach ha'emes, compared to the absolute truth in that real world of what yesh is. So if a scientist were to explain to us exactly what a table is, if he were to explain to us what a table is, this is what a table is, and he would go, whatever makes a table, a carpenter, a scientist, whatever, but a maven would tell us exactly what a table is. So Rav Kook is saying that's ena oila filo chilek echad bini revav v'berach ha'amis. There's a sefer called Kehilas Yaakov. There are a number of some that are called Kehilas Yaakov. But there's a Kehilas Yaakov from the author of the Sefer Mloi HaRoyim. Rabbi Yaakov, the Mloi HaRoyim, was one of the great students of the Chayzim Lublin. He was one of the Gedolei HaDor, one of the greatest poskim of the Dor. He's the author of Levush Esrat on Shulchan Aruch. That's printed. That's the Mloi HaRoyim. He wrote a Sefer Kehilas Yaakov. It was redone some years ago. I have an old one, and the new one is much easier to learn. And the Kehilas Yaakov, basically, you can look up the word Shulchan, and the Kehilas Yaakov will tell you, he'll bring you from where in the Zohar Kodesh, in the Kisveri, and the Ramak, and so on, what's Svira, where does it come from in the Olamos? What is a Shulchan, what's a table? What is a table really? Where does it come from? And there are other such Svarim, that's the most famous one, that are helping us to look at reality from the perspective of the true Yesh that is the Infinite One Himself, Kivyachol. To be able to understand what is a table, what's a shoe, what's an eye, what is it? Now, from the Mabat of Chol, from the perspective of Chol, there's nothing that's more real than the table itself. The same way, when you give a person who's detached from learning Pnimius HaTorah, and you tell him a Torah, let's say, from the Nar Meli Melech, so you learn with him a Torah from the Nar Meli Melech, that person feels, and he might even Chas V'Chalila say something, which I've heard from people or even bright people, like, what is this? Like, this is like some kind of, what is this, like a cloud, a fluff or something? What is this? Ki'ilo, what the Nar Meli Melech is saying is nothing, and the table is something. So when the Nar Meli Melech says, what's the meaning of Tevas Noach for the realist, so to speak, for the one that always likes to walk around holding a Rambam for the pictures? So for that realist, so the Tevas Noach is a big boat. That's true. It was a big boat. And then when you learn the Nar Meli Melech, what's the Tevas Noach? So this the Maimonidean will say, that's not chasli what the Rambam was, but the people who think that they're the followers of Maimonides, so they will say, like, what's he talking about? What is that? What's he talking about? The Tevas Noach. From the Baal Shem Tov, Tevas a word and letters, and enter into the letters into the words. A Tevas a boat. It's not a word. And that chevah they get very, very uncomfortable. They're very uncomfortable with this kind of depiction of reality. If you're talking to your friend, so when you're talking to your friend, who are you talking to? You're talking to a certain amount of bones and blood and flesh and are you talking to? Is that who you're talking to? I mean, that's the tzura of the person you're talking to. But obviously, you're speaking to the person, which is you're speaking to something that you can't see, to the true yesh of who that person is. The body is. I'm talking to the body is ayin. When I'm talking to my friend, I'm talking to who he really is. I'm not talking to the encasement. I'm not talking to the goof. I'm trying to talk to his neshama. I'm trying to talk to Reuven. That's why because we call him Reuven. Reuven is the story of who he is. Batsim, not Rob. Reuven, or whatever the English name might be, Reuven is the person, and I'm talking to Reuven. I'm talking to Shimon. I'm talking to Levi. That doesn't mean I'm talking to the goof. I'm talking to the real Yeshus. Now the person will say, "But that's not realistic. I'm just talking to this bag of bones in front of me. That's what I'm talking to." But of course, you're not. That person is a hishtalshlus. It comes from a very, very high place, and the body is the final stop. The body is just at the very end, the very edge, the end of the story. There's a whole history. There's a whole hishtalshlus of who this person, where he comes from, who he is right now. So Rav Kook says, "Ayedim and ha'olim v'amitzir shabam mitzad achol ena oila afilu l'chelik echem ni revav v'berach ha'emes." That what the scientists and what chol and the experts, the way that they understand the world as profound and as deep and as interesting and so on, all of that is only. It's not even oila l'chelik ni revav v'berach ha'emes. Not even a chelik ni revav v'berach ha'emes. Not, which means not even a fraction of the truth of the true story. Lu'umas hayidiya ha'amuka shel ha'olam v'hayeshus bechlal. Lu'umas, in comparison to the yidiya ha'amuka, to the deep, to the true knowledge. Ha'amuka shel ha'olam v'hayeshus bechlal. All of life is supposed to be our effort to get closer and closer and higher, to be able to get to be mascarif to that yediyah that comes, to that yediyah ha'amuka of Yeshus Bechlal, to come to that true yediyah of Yeshus as much as a human being can go. Now, what is that true Yeshus? What is this yediyah ha'amuka? So he says, "Lumas yediyah ha'amuka shel olam ha'yeshus bechlal, shabo mitzad ha'kodesh." That arrives here, mitzad ha'kodesh. That descends, appears here, mitzad ha'kodesh. Kamitas hametzias. Vayesh ha-gomer shel hakol, true metzias, remember, the true yesh, true metzias. Vayesh ha-gomer shel hakol, hayesh ha-gomer, not the hayesh ha-gomer, the real yesh, the complete yesh. Amitas ha-metzias, vayesh ha-gomer shel hakol, hirak behayos hakol b'mitzad ha-hayfa'a ha-elokis. That's Kodesh. That means true Yesh is only that realization or that understanding that every single thing comes mitzad ha'ofah ha'elokis. It comes from God. From that, it's a materialization in this world of something that's been on a very, very long journey, not in space or in time, but in Madregas. It's a Haifa Elokis. A table is a Haifa Elokis. When I'm talking to somebody, that person is a Haifa Elokis. Rav Kook, as we've discussed so many times over the years, Rav Kook generally, not always, but generally avoids using the classic terminology of Kabbalah. That's why there are svarim that are written to explain, to translate Rav Kook's language into the more familiar language for those who learn the Kabbalah svarim of Kabbalah. So when Rav Kook says Hofaha Elokis, that everything that exists, its true Yeshus, is an infinitely higher Madrega that's descended level after level after level until it appears in this world as a table or a chair. But it's a Hofaha Elokis, that's Kaidish. In the terminology, of course, Spinoza also was speaking about in this Shia, in the first Shia on Arz HaKaidish, or the second Shia in Arz HaKaidish. In the terminology of Kabbalah, this is known, of course, as the Hishtalshlus, the term from Atzilus, in the world of Atzilus. The Hishtalshlus means the whole complicated and remarkable system that was revealed to us through the Zohar, and then much more clearly and in greater detail through the Kisvei Ha'ari, the Ha'ari HaKadosh, of how something comes from there to here. How does something come from that Yesh to this Ayin, or from Ayin to Yesh? How does that happen? How was the world created? And how did something? Now, what was something before? What was this before? What it appears to be in this physical world? Now, remember, all scientists and all historians, and they're all studying the last stop. They're just studying the last stop. But the last stop is a Hofaha Elokis that comes from way, way beyond. So in Kabbalah, this is called Teres HaAtzilus. This limud of learning and understanding where everything comes from is called Teres HaAtzilus. The soid of Hishtalshlus, the seder of Hishtalshlus. Hishtalshlus, you know, Hishtalshlus means a chain. And Hishtalshlus means the chain that descends from above to below. That chain. That if you climb higher and higher in that chain, you get to the infinite one. You get to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Atzilus, we're familiar with that word. The Mefarshim speak about it a lot. Like when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving over to the Zakenim, so it says, Va'atzalti min haruach, right? Atzilus, v'atzalti min haruach. And v'atzalti means that there's a certain koach, there's a certain hidden, invisible koach, and Moshe Rabbeinu, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu received this from Kodesh Baruch Hu, from Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu, v'atzalti min haruach, Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing this out and giving it to the Zakenim and to Yeshua. V'atzalti min haruach. And through that process of Atzilus, as something descends from a higher level to a lower level, it becomes more coarse. Until it finally gets into the world where it's mamash, something that you could touch or you could see or experience. But through that Hishtalshlus, through the Ha'atzola, in English, the word they use is emanation. No. It's the best word they can come up with in English, that the books that translate Atzilus. But through that, Yitziyam Na'akorach Lapoel, from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Zakenim, by way of that descent from a higher level, Moshe, to the Zakenim, to Yeshua, by way of that descent, it is now more hidden. It's more ne'elam. It's more ayin. It's more nothing. Akedekach, then, until something gets to this world, which is the last stop, a person can actually say that there is no God, and this just was made in a factory, and there's no God behind any of this wood or whatever. There is no God. Al kedei kach, it becomes more and more hidden. So what was by Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu dik. Already by the Zakenim is Zakenim dik. And that jump, we can't understand either of those, but that jump means that from the true Yeshus, something is now more hidden. It's more ayin. You understand what it means, more ayin? It's more nothing. Meaning that it's more concealed from the true Yeshus. And the role of Teres HaAtzilus and the Kisvei Aris will explain this. The Maral, the Kuzri, those Chachmei HaPnimius that were using, and the Ramban, they were using Lashonis, not of the Sifrei Kabbalah. So in the Kuzri, he uses a lashon HaKol Shover LaSiba HaRishayna. That's a very common term that's found by the earlier tzaddikim, Siba HaRishayna, the first cause. That's found in non-Jewish sources as well. Doesn't mean the same thing as in our sources. But they're trying to speak about it, but it's not the same thing. And the Kuzbi says, HaKol Shorva LaSiba HaRishayna, He HaAtzilus. That selas mimena siba shenis v'siba shlishis v'siba revius. That's how he defines. Hakol shav l'asiba rishon. Everything returns. Everything is seeking to return. We're trying to reach back to that higher and higher from levels of yesh. Then it gets like it's. Let's imagine that the yesh here in this world is like, imagine it's black, and then you get higher and higher. It gets grayer, right? Grayer. And then until it gets to that, it gets to mamish to ayin, and then there's no color at all. It's just so from dark black to shades of different shades that are lighter and gray and so on and white until hakol shavu lasiva rishani hatzilus netzelus. That's the Kuzri's lashon. The Kuzri says you don't have that in front of you. Netzelus it. Netzelas mimena siba shenis, shlishis, vias. So from the second shade or degree, it's becoming more yesh, more hidden. It's more of that infinite is being hidden, and the yesh as it descends lower and lower, it's getting blacker and blacker and darker and more physical, thicker and thicker and thicker. So that's what the Kuzri says. And it tells me in a Siba Shenis, Siba Shlishis, until it gets to this world where there are infinite Sibos, causes. So you could say, where does the table come from? Because it was, and the carpenter or the guy that knows how you make these things will tell you the Siba. The last Siba. So he might speak about the machinery that was used in the factory to make this. And then you might ask him, okay, that's the, but what was before the machine? So then he'll say, well, there was the guy that made the people that made the machine. In other words, there's another factory that makes those machines that makes the table. So now we're already talking about a Siba Shlishis. Right? In other words, first you have the table, and then you're wondering, where did this come from? So you try to work your way back, and you say, it comes from the table factory. And there was a machine there. They made this. So then you say, yeah, but where did that machine come from? So then you say, well, there was a machine that makes the machine. There's a different factory. There's the machine factory where they make machines. No, and where does that come from? So then you get to where they make the nuts and the bolts and the screws, and they make metal, and it goes back all to some scrap metal place, to the junkyard of some guy in Alabama. I don't know where it goes back to, but it's there's a Siba Rishon, there's a Siba Shein, there's a Siba Shlishis, and so on. Until the last Siba, the last thing is when it comes into, and you have a table. So all the stauschlus of Sibois was the first cause. It could be that metal. You know, that's where the professor will stop. When you ask him, you can talk to him. I don't know where the metal comes from, but eventually you go to a certain point where the scientist or whoever it is will have to stop and say, "Listen, that's as far back as I can study. That's the Sibur Rishona." So, in other words, the Sibur Rishona is I don't know with metal how they do that. I mean, maybe you know how that works, but that's the Sibur Rishona. And the shinus and the shlishus is the way they make this, and they make this, and they make that, and then it gets all the way to the factory, and it gets. But that's the seal that they make. That's the Sibur Shina is the furthest back that the scientist can go, or the professor, or whatever. The same thing with history, with anything. I'm just using science as an example. I'd love Davka, but the furthest back you can go, that's called the Sibur Shina. So when all the scientists got together and they had a minion, they came up with the term that's called the Big Bang, right, where everything comes from. So then you ask them, either of it's an interesting idea. Where does that come from? And it was like, where do the materials come from? Where they speak about this primordial soup of some sort, and there were these ingredients, and they were combustible, and they got together, and they were boom. And because of that big boom, all of a sudden you have like. The Rogachev. I don't know how that happened, but from that boom, you got a Rogachev. Oh, it's an amazing thing that happened like that. But from such a thing with a couple of, like with a knedel and some lokshin, they came out the Rogachev. I don't know how you could do that in your house to put together some knedel and lokshin, a little piece of chicken, and then you boil it up a little bit, and then you walk into the room and the Rogachev is standing. I don't know how that works. But there's such a thing in the world that. So you asked them, so where did the soup come from, Taka? Where do the ingredients come from? So they said, no, we don't know that Siba. It just came. Kaha. So the Siba Rishoina is the world of true yesh, of true reality. And as we go to the Siba Shainis and Siba Shlishis, which is the Torah, the Seder Vishtalshus of Atzilus, as you descend lower and lower and it gets blacker and dark, gray, dark, black, and so on, then it becomes more coarse until finally it ends up in a physical place, which is the final stop, the Siba Achroina, or the Mesuvav, the final thing, the last stop. So what Rav Kook is saying is that Kodesh is a way of understanding reality as a Hofah Elokis, of looking at everything and everybody as a Hofah Elokis. Through these glasses of the Torah Hatzilus, of the Seder Vishtashlus, but the Siba Rishoina, and only the Siba Rishoina, is Yesh Amiti, is true Yesh. Therefore, what he's saying is that all those who study Mitzad HaChol, who try to understand Mitzias and life, including the human mind and the soul, all those who try to study it, Mitzad HaChol, it's only Chelek Echad Mini Revava Berech Amis. So if your therapist tells you, you can't control this, you can't control this desire that you have, so you have to know that he's talking about, according to his understanding of the Siba Rishonis, he's talking according to his Seder Vishtalshlus, which reaches a certain place, and according to what he was taught by his professor, and what he read in the book that they gave him, so you come up to a place and you can't. There's nothing you can do about it. That's all. I'd come. There's nothing to do. But a Yid knows that a Jew is Kodesh, and Kedusha, and that Mitzias is not something which began with his professor's professor, and that professor's professor's professor. It didn't begin over there. It began from true Yeshus. And therefore, Vakash Baruch Hu said, don't do this. It means you don't have to do it. No. And if he said do it, it means you could do it. And if you can't, then there are discussions in halacha, because halacha is our way of living in that hofalokis that we're in, and we turn to the Shulchan Aruch and to the Poskim to understand. So maybe he's talking oinus in the situation. He can't. So no. So if somebody is sick, you got to go to the hospital. So you have to go to the hospital. He's sick. It's Shabbos. No, you have to take him to the hospital. He's in danger. What's the shaila? So we have halacha that tells us what to do. My halacha is the hishtalshlus that comes from Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai. And therefore only Torah, only halacha, only that mitzvah that comes from Chai, Chaim, Baruch Hu, from the life of all life, can tell us how to live. Because the instructions that we get from the life of all life, the instructions that we get from that reality, are the instructions that are designed particularly for Nishmas Yisrael, for a Jew, of how to live in this world. And they come to us from the Sibas Kol HaSibas himself, from the Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu, from the Makor of all of true reality. So somebody looks at you and thinks that you're picking up the Becher Friday night and you're making Kiddush. It's like, what is that? Like, you know, you're somebody that's detached from the world, mumbling a couple of words over a cup of wine. Like, what is that about? Why don't you just eat? Well, what's the matter with you? Because in the Siba that he lives in, or the Mesuva that he lives in, the reality that he lives in, which is the dark, dark, black, that's where he lives in. What does it mean to have to say a couple of words before you eat something? What do you have to mumble a couple of things? Yom HaShishi, what are you talking about? Just eat. What are you doing? What are you talking about? Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misina, Mesal Yeshua, and so on. The whole state of Ishtalshus comes through Moshe Rabbeinu and Vayat Salman HaRuach. The Moshe Rabbeinu gave it over. Vayat Salman HaRuach. And that state of Ishtalshus. And all of that doesn't in any way change chas v'chalila, this is the sort of our belief, doesn't change or affect chas v'chalila Hashem in any way at all. It's not like when I give over I get tired or I have less to give. The moshel the Ramak uses, all the mekubalim use hamadik miner in there. That when you light a candle, you take this candle, light that candle, it doesn't mean that this candle gets any weaker. Nothing happens to the first candle, you light another candle. Hamadlik miner l'ner. V'yad salman haruach doesn't mean that anything is diminished or decreased. It's more and more hidden as it descends. But it doesn't change in any way, chalila. The light is just covered, more and more covered, but the light itself is the light of the Infinite One, and Hashem is not depleted in any way. There's no reservoir that's being used up. So Malik Miner Lener, nothing changed in Hashem. By Him giving us, by Him creating all the worlds, nothing changed. Ani Hashem Lo Yishenisi, nothing changed. Through this process of Atzilus, nothing changes in that divine reality of Yesh, of Hashem Yisbach, nothing changes. Hashem is now as He always was before the Creator world. The same before the worlds created and after all worlds were created, Hashem as well said, I haven't changed at all. Same thing. So everybody's thinking, you must be exhausted after all of this. Aren't you tired? Or like, doesn't it say in the Torah that you rested on Shabbos? Or like, it's been a lot of Shabboses and a lot of weeks and years and stuff and all this. You're so busy with everything and everybody. It's hamadlik miner l'ner that we don't understand. The human mind can't comprehend that. So that's what Rav Kook is explaining. That's what kodesh. That way of looking at everything is called kodesh. That's called kodesh. Kamitas hametzias v'hayesh agomer shel kol hi rak beyos hakol b'mitzad ha'hayfah ha'elokis. That's reality. Mitzad ha'hayfah elokis. If you and I, we have kaiches that we don't. If we would learn more and more to understand what's the nefesh, what's ruach, what's neshama, what's chay, what's chid, to understand who we are, we don't even know who we are. You think that you think you know a little bit about yourself because you read an introduction to psychology 001 or something. You took it in Queens College in 1972, so you think you know something about yourself. or you go to the therapist who's not a person of Torah and mitzvahs, who's trying hard, and you tell over your whole life story, and then the therapist looks at you and says, "You're nuts." Sorry, I can't help you. You're nuts. You're crazy. And maybe we could get you a shot and they'll make you act less crazy. That's all. But you're crazy. You got problems. Hakol bar mitzvah hayifalo kis. A yid, a human being also, not just a Jew, but a Jew is a different madrega of mitzvahs. But is a hayifalo kis. It's the appearance of elokus in physical clothing. It's a hefalo kiss. How you talk to another human being, even a very very, even a person that's very different than you, or a person that you would think is very 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 low, and that's seder v'shtalshlus. Sof kol sof, it's a hefalo kiss. Yeah, it's a hefalo kiss where the elokus is very very much in galus, the same way that it's in a table. So you could look at another human being and you could think that this human being has nothing, no shaykhis to Rabbi Shalom, has nothing to do with, and there's nothing in him that's good, and it's not true. Even the lowest criminal has something in him. Even the worst person is a hefalo kiss. It's just in the terrible, terrible gullus, the lost princess, is terrible, 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 terrible. But it doesn't mean that it's on its own, that it's not in some way connected to lakus, so a hefalo kiss. How you speak to people, how you look at everything in the world. How you shlug kaparas? I had a few calls from people that were very upset about the kaparas that were going, and you know, people are more sensitive to these things, and there's truth to it. Trachmonis, you have to. There's a din of tzar b'lechayim where people said they're isa. We were having a conversation about this because somebody was making fun. Oh, you have the environmentalists. All of a sudden, they're coming out. They want to stop kaparas. No, we shouldn't. We have a minig of kaparas, but there's a deraisa to take a chicken and to shlug it like you're slugging a bag of money, waving it around your head, and to throw it into a box to sit in the sun for 5-6 hours suffering and misery. Now, you know, I'm no liberal or progressive type of a guy, but there's a din in the Torah. It's Sabra Lecham. What is that? And there's nobody watching. There's nobody that's mashgiach that they should be held in a bekovetik way. To hold in the bekovetik way, you're hurting the thing. To hold in the bekovetik way, it's a hefalo kiss. A chicken is a hefalo kiss. That has nothing to do with animal rights, the Mishagoyim. I'm not talking about animal rights. I'm talking about the Shulchan Aruch. How do you leave a thing sitting this without a drop of water in the hot sun for 5-6 hours sitting over there? It's an achzarius. How could a Jew be such an achzari to leave like this a chicken? It's not about animal rights. It's about Torah. It's about halach. The Baruch Shem tells you can't. The Baruch Shem says this. So if I look his, you don't treat one of my creatures in such a way. It's rachma v'kol ma'asav. Rachma v'kol ma'asav. To swing it around the wrong way that hurts it, you have to know what you're doing. It's also a chachma. So even though we make fun of the people who get upset about these things, because there's a lot to make fun of, because of all the silliness that comes with this, but the emes is that it's a problem. The emes is that it's a problem. And it doesn't mean to stop kaparis. I'm not suggesting that 100%, but it should be done in the right way. And if you don't know how to do it, then they make enough movies about everything else in the world. You could go onto the computer and find out how to fix your clock or something. So they could make a thing about how to do kaparis. You could have some guy show you how to do kaparis, and they could send that all over with a nice little explanation. So people shouldn't be torturing these chickens. Erev Yom Kippur, to do such an aveira, to be such an aveira. So if I look here, everything in the world is to look at, and what is the, and then to understand what's a tarnagol. One Shabbos ago, many years ago, I spoke about the inyan of a tarnagol. What's a tarnagol? If you look in the Olamus, what's the inyan of a tarnagol? Where does the chicken come from? Not just from a farm. Where does the chicken come from? What's the inyan? What's that inyan? What's that griya? What's that thing in the world that's called the chicken? What is that? What does that mean? What's an oif? What is that oaf? What is that bird? It's also a hefalo kiss. Mitzad histafus chayim v'yeshus v'mkor chayim v'ayesh. You hear what Rav Kook says? It's a histafus, meaning it's like an outgrowth, a seif, like a, an extension. It comes from where? Chayim ve'yeshus, life and yeshus and reality. Yeshus means yesh. Mimkora chayim ve'yesh, from the true source of life and yesh. Now, true yeshus, you can't see with your eyes. And the realistic person will say, true yeshus is only what I see with my eyes. So he doesn't believe in molecules and atoms either, this guy. So now he believes, because the scientist said that he saw an atom. I personally never met an atom. I don't know if you saw one. The telescopes they gave us in high school didn't go to such a Seabury shine like anything like that. Just made things a little bit bigger before we broke it. And you don't. I never saw an atom. I never saw a cell. And in the books, they have all kinds of pictures. All these. It's like a whole little city. The cell, all different things going on over there. I don't know. So busy. You look in the cell. I don't remember the names of the parts. They got all these different parts going. I don't remember. Looks like a peanut or something. But it's got a lot of parts. Got all these different things going on in there. In the cell. I don't see that with my eyes. But again, you're getting to more refined, delicate, edle images of that piece of the Messias in this world. But only when you get back to the Sibir Rishayna, to the first cause. That's called Ayin, but that's the true Yeshus. That's what Rav Kook is saying. That's Hayeshus Mimkora Chaim Vayesh. Hayeshus Mimkora Chaim Vayesh. That's really just one more sentence. I have to leave a little bit early. Shekol Mashem is Galib B'Tor Olam V'Havaya. Whatever is revealed in the world and in reality, as we know it. Shekol Mashem is Galib B'Tor Olam V'Havaya. Whatever we see. That's Mizgala, either with a telescope or a microscope or with your eyes, whatever. Whatever is revealed, whatever kalim we could use to see things better. So you have glasses, you see it better. You have a microscope, you see it better. But whatever it is, it's all part of what's being Mizgala, b'tor olam v'havaya. All of that we could see that's revealed in this world. Hurak ke'ein tzel kolosh is like a dim tzel, like a shade, a shadow. Compared to the Yeshus, HaTahira that is pure, HaAdira, powerful, majestic, Shemekar HaLoki. All right, one more sentence, because it's the paragraph. V'nimsa Shekol HaHoina Madai, therefore all scientific wealth, it doesn't just mean science, all secular information, Kol ha'hoin ha'madai shel ha'odam, all information, all knowledge that's human, yal b'roimus per godlo, can only ascend in all of its glory, rak yishe ya'atzer v'yechsen b'makar ha'viyosa, only if it is returned and stored, only if it's attributed to and connected to and returns to, is taken back to, Makor Havayoso, the source of its existence. She Das Hashem V'Uzai, which is Das Hashem V'Uzai, knowledge of Hashem V'Uzo and His great strength. Hakoros Hakol, to recognize, to identify, to understand everything, Mitzad Makor Hakol, from that perspective of Makor Hakol. The source, the makar of everything. So in a couple of hours, we're going to say about Shabbos, Kihi makar habracha. Now, if a person who doesn't keep Shabbos, or somebody who's not Jewish, looks at Shabbos, to him, Shabbos is complete ayin, nothing, right? I can't work, I can't make money, I can't go out and have fun, I can't go to the party, I can't turn on the light, I can't turn on the car, I can't. And how do you and I look at Shabbos? Shabbos is Yesh ha'amiti. Yesh ha'amiti. You understand? In other words, by my not doing those things that the Baruch Hashem told me not to do, I'm connecting to true Yesh, which is Shabbos Mekar HaBrach. Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu. In the eyes of the world, everything about Shabbos is not. I'm not, I'm not, I'm not, you're not, you're not, you're not, you're not. And the guy says, I am, I am, I am, I am. You're not, you're not, you're not, you're not, you're not. I am at the party, I am at the club, I am in my car, I am, I am, I am, I am. And you're like some nerd that's sitting like in a recliner falling asleep by the parasha, right? And that's a good picture of tonight. So he says, I am, I am, I am, I am. And you're not, 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 not. And you say, ah, my dear friend, Mr. whatever your name is, guy, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. What you see right now is Yesha Amiti Mimkor Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu Mamish. Chaya Chaim Baruch Hu Mamish, Mamish, true Yeshus. It's the highest energy. It's the energy of connecting to that which is the Yesh HaAmiti, which in this world comes out as lo, 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 as Ayin. Because I'm taking myself away from the Siva Achrayna, and I'm connecting to the Siva Rishayna. So how does that interpret it? How is that interpreted in this world? As not doing this and not doing that. Are you more of a human being if you turn your phone off? No? Are you more of a human being when you turn your phone off? When you take the cell phone, the phone, and you press the button that says power off, and it may, are you more of a human being when you do that, or less of a human being? Of course you're more of a human being. When you turn it on, you're less of a human being. Then you're going to see b'sheni shlishi b'rishon. When you turn it off, you're climbing to a higher siba of being a human being, which means I have a head, I have a mind, I have a heart. This is not me. When you turn off the machine, then you're in a higher place of Yeshus. The person that sees you turning off the machine says, how could you live like that? You're in a place where there's nothing here. Ein kan shum davar. And you're saying, yesh kan hakol. Yesh kan hakol. But he said, but you turned your phone off. Nachon? If you turned your phone off, then ein lecha shum davar. And your answer is, yesh li hakol. That's how it is with Shabbos. Yesh li hakol. Shabbos the Makar Baruch. Shabbos the Makar Baruch. Yeshli HaKol. Shabbos is the meat of Kol of Malchus. That's what Shabbos is. Kol. Yeshli HaKol. The second I leave Shabbos, the second I turn on the thing, that's already Sibas. Shlishis, Revis, Chamishis, it's already. All kinds of Sibas and Sibas, all kinds of things. I'm further away from reality. Not closer to reality. But the person who looks at it from the other way, that perspective, the other way, for him, you're trying to run away from the world, like the parent tells the kid that wants to go to yeshiva, you're running away from reality, and he's running towards reality. And the kid says, I want to go to yeshiva. I'm running away from reality. Where are you going? He says, I'm going to watch the World Series. You're going to reality. I'm going to my office. You're going to reality. I'm going to the gym. You're going to reality. But if you're going to yeshiva, it says you're running away from reality. It's a v'nahapaychu. It's a whole different way of understanding every single moment, every single thing in life. Kodesh is that way of looking at things. Is that way of looking at things from the perspective of mekar hakol, of mekar chayim, mekar chayim baruch hu. That's mitzias amiti. That's yesh amiti. I left again Shabbos.